On today's episode, we're joined by Louisa O'Connor, Managing Director of Scene Presents. Louisa and I recorded this episode live from Advertising Week Europe at 180 Studios in London. We talk about Louisa's career, what's next for Scene Presents, their company motto, and why it's a good one and a good life rule, and much more. Enjoy!
Well, Louisa, welcome to the show. We have Louise and Louisa. It sounds like a talk show, like an SNL skit or something. Really excited for this one. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
I know.
We've known each other for so long.
So many years.
I know.
Feels weird to be doing this with you and not like planning some experience in a corner or something.
Right. Or like putting out fires or something.
Exactly.
I feel like halfway through this, we'll kind of see something behind us. You're like, pause.
Yeah, I feel that.
But we are live from Advertising Week Europe, day 3 here. This is actually the first episode we've done live from an event, I think. So thanks for joining us. You're the perfect guest for it.
You're so welcome. Really happy to be here.
So let's start chatting. Your journey at Scene Presents has been nothing short of impressive. I've read quite a bit about you and also known you, but last year you were one of our future Scene All shortlisters. Your entry was incredible. And we also know a lot of the same people, a lot of the same clients. So everyone around the industry says the same, but can you take us through the beginning stages of starting the company? And how did you navigate those early challenges, particularly in such a male-dominated division of our industry? I think maybe even give a background on Scene Presents and kind of your background would be good too.
Of course. So Scene Presents, we're in our fourth year of trading. I've obviously most of my career been an experiential for about 22 years now. So my challenge was resurrecting Scene Presents. How Scene Presents was an agency in the past. It got hit really hard by COVID. And at the time, I was working for a different agency in the group. And I was kind of approached to resurrect the agency. At the time, it had no revenue, no clients. And that was quite daunting. I'd never been an MD before. I'd always been like a second in command. My MO is like delivery. Give me a task, I'll do it, I'll execute it. But I didn't really ever see myself as like this visionary. I always thought I needed someone else to do that. So when I was approached, my initial reaction was like, oh my gosh, is this for me? Like, can I be an MD? Can I set up and run a business? So I suppose those initial stages, there was a lot, right? I had to try and resurrect a brand, so like rebrand it. I had to make us famous, essentially. Like you said, I'm relatively known in the industry between my clients. I spent a lot of years like building up a good client base, like trust and stuff is important to me, but no one really knew who Scene Presents was. So my first task was like to get our name out there and not just me be known, but the brand be known. And then build a team and also then find clients. And doing that surrounded by big meaty agencies that have been around a long time that are, yes, male led and coming along like a little fish in a big pond and trying to make a mark. And that was daunting, but I love a challenge. And I quickly realized that, you know, actually maybe being an MD is not as scary as it sounds. You just do what you've always done, right? You just have a different title.
I was going to say, you're definitely still a doer.
And I think people respect that. I think people don't
want
like an MD that just floats about, like who doesn't get their hands dirty. And I think that's part of our DNA, and it's part of why we win work, is that if I say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And you can look me in the white of my eyes and I will be there on site ensuring that we deliver to what we said we're going to do. And I will never stop doing that as long as I can still sleep and eat at the same time.
It's a great quote. In the building it and kind of bringing it back, was there a defining moment that you could think of when you realized like, all right, there's potential for this and I really think we're going to keep fighting, but I feel good? And did you ever have that kind of foresight to know this will be impactful?
So like two parts to that. I think my first point is I was my biggest, like, what's the word? Like, you know, you say like, oh, did anyone ever like try and tell you can't do it? Like I was telling myself I was like, well, you know, we'll go slow and like, we'll just hire a few people. Like I never thought it was going to blow up as it did. But I think my defining moment when I thought like, actually, like we've got real potential to make a mark in the industry is when we won Netflix for Cannes Lions. Like we'd already taken TikTok to Cannes Lions for the first time. Netflix had never been. And You know, they trusted us to take them to Cannes for the first time in quite a big, impactful way. It was the first time an entertainment brand of that scale had shown up in a way that they'd shown up. And they really trusted us. And they trusted us because we understand how to bring, like, those intangible brands. So, like, those brands that you engage with on your screen into physical environments. And we know how to do that in a B2B sphere, but make it look experiential, exciting, different, entertaining. And they kind of saw that in me and saw that in Scene Presents. And I'll be forever grateful that they really saw that potential and just didn't go with a big name agency for the sake of it. And that for me was like, this is it. We have such a unique proposition in the market. I really trust in the team. They're so talented. So how do I get that out in the world and get other people to know about us? And then that is when I focused on the marketing side of things to get us out there.
And you guys did such a great job. I was there that year and remember the activation that you guys did for Netflix. And it was pretty incredible. And, you know, in the years after there and even here at Advertising Week Europe last year, you guys did their activation and it's really a set of buzz. You can tell it's like, it's very Netflix, which meaning that it's very like the best of the best.
And also it's like with Netflix, they're very considered, right? They don't do things for the sake of it. It has to always link back to their business proposition. You know, they'd moved into that advertising sphere. How do they attract advertisers? So it's very considered. And I think the thing that they value in it is like seeing that business proposition. We're in our third year of taking them to Cannes Lion, which I'm super proud of. But that was, you know, building Scene Presents. I think that's our niche, I suppose.
You mentioned a little bit about how quickly Scene Presents has grown. It's only been 4 years, you said.
This is our fourth year of trading, so we're like three years and three months old.
Tell us about that growth and scale and, you know, what's it been like? Have you managed it? Was it kind of like, oh my God, what now? Or did you just keep rolling?
The first year was just about finding our place, right? So it was about getting a good solid client. TikTok is my original client. It was really about solidifying our offering for them.
It's a good name for original client.
Yeah, I know, right? They are my OGs. But, you know, building a team around delivering for them and then just seeing what our niche was going to be. And the first year is when I built out that proposition, making the intangible tangible. So taking things that you engage with in screen, or the culture of brand and bring that to life. Second year was about making us famous. Like, I had to make a splash, and that is why I'm all over everyone's LinkedIn and boring people to death on Instagram. If you think about what you engage with on your channels, like I'm advising anyone who's trying to set up a business, is you have to make yourself famous. You have to get your name out there, enter awards, write articles, do press, do interviews, whatever, because people need to know who you are, what you stand for, and like what the almost like the DNA of your business is. The third year was about growing the client base, is like really kind of making sure that we have diversity of client, diversity of offering. And then this fourth year is about making sure I've got growth potential. So experiential is our bread and butter, but we now have a content and broadcasting arm as well. And that's because the future of experiential, you have to be more integrated. You have to think about pre and post event, not just the first event. But, you know, growing from zero staff to 34, we're now at staff in 3 years. I'm going to say it's challenging, right? It's fine as an MD.
That's big growth, yeah.
But it's fast. And as an MD, you weather it, right? Because you kind of take that on. You're like, this is my responsibility. I can't complain. I shouldn't moan. It's my job to work hard to build this business and build it as a space people want to work for and that clients want to work with. For people joining, that's the biggest challenge I've had, is that it's not for everyone. You know, we're essentially a startup. We learn all the time. We work really hard. It's fast. And that's been my challenge, is growing a successful business while trying to maintain a culture that is nurturing and has kind of staff's well-being at heart, and it's fun and engaging. And at times when you're building a business as an MD, you can look right and you're looking right, and then you look left and something is on fire because you've forgotten to just take a beat. And I think that's been my biggest learning, is like maintaining growth while maintaining a happy team can sometimes be challenging.
But go hand in hand, because the growth and the success, I think, comes from...
Yeah.
People are happy, you'll see.
Yeah, I learned that in the first like 8 months of trading. I did it wrong at the start. I was so head down in building a business, and then I had to lift my head up and be like, the people that are building the business with me are working really hard too. And that's what we built out, a culture team. So we have an in-house culture team that we do trips every month, learn about the industry and like see what's out there. We have We See You Awards, so we make sure we recognize everyone every month. We do a team holiday. Like, the culture of the business is why people want to work with us.
Yeah.
Because we work hard, but we play hard, and we're nice to work with. And I think that's what I'd encourage anyone building a business is make sure you look inwards as well as outwards.
And I can vouch for all that. You are. You don't just say it. You do it, and you kind of walk the walk along with it.
I feel like it's my strength and weakness is like I literally physically can't be anything but this. I'm like, if you talk to me,
it's a blessing and a curse.
This is literally who I am. I can't pretend. So if something goes wrong or I've done something wrong, I'll be like, yeah, I did it wrong. It wasn't great. Let me try and fix it.
I value that. So I love it. As you were doing it, like building this and, you know, getting to where you were, were there external doubters and kind of like people who were set you up for, I don't know, like, good luck, we'll figure it out? And if so, how did you deal with that? Or
I think mainly it was probably me. That's, I think anyone as a female, you are literally biologically programmed to doubt yourself and feel worrier. I think externally it took me about, I would say, a year to prove that we were legit. I think a lot of brands, fair play to them, brands are under pressure, right? They're under pressure from finance, they're under pressure from procurement to be like, who are you? Like, who are they going to give $1 million to? Me or an agency that's been going 84 years? And I think it took me a while to like prove, like, I might not have been around for decades. I have personally, you know, I am of age, but my business might be young, but I have a lot of experience in the team through the individuals. And that's what you're buying the people. And that's, it took me a year to kind of solidify with that. And then people look up and go, ah, they've taken TikTok to Cannes. They've done Eurovision. They've done advertising meet. They've now got Netflix. Okay, they're legit. Let's take notice. And then I was like, told you.
Yeah.
But just took them a beat.
You and I always say, I feel like good people find good people.
Same.
And you've hosted events where you have your clients.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough to be there, and it was so fun, like a client lunch, and it really just was a chill hangout. Great people, so much fun. Very kind of just be yourself, be normal.
I didn't do it on purpose, but all women.
Yeah, love it. And
my major clients are female, which I just absolutely love. And then we realized it in Cannes, didn't we? I was like, yeah. Literally from everyone I've ever worked with, like the main people that I engage with are female. So I was like, we should come together.
We had the best time.
Yeah.
It's like, really, it didn't feel like a work day. Like, it was just really fun. So you guys are definitely, you personally and I Scene Presents are obviously really doing it. And I think people value that. As you think of kind of leading that and you bring it in and you think of your staff and your own leadership style, how do you feel that has helped shape where you're going, how your team feels? We talked a little bit about that, but love to know kind of how you maintain that between the good vibes and also growing business.
Yeah, I think my leadership style mainly is built around honesty. I always just think a lie will catch you out. So with my team, I'm like, I'll be honest with you. You always be honest with me. I try and take people on the journey of Scene Presents so that they feel really invested. My other thing is just like, don't be an idiot. People just want to work with like honest, straight down the line, look me in the eyes, people. There's so much wind out there.
You should add that to your email signature. Be honest and don't be an idiot.
I use a different word. I'm not going to lie, Louise. But like,
we're expletive friendly here.
I'm like, our internal motto is don't be an idiot. In a set word of your choice. But I'm like, there's so much waffle out there where people just say what you want to hear, and that's not what we're about. So externally, we're not about that, but I'm also about that internally. I'm also trying to be honest about is that, you know, this, what I'm building at Scene Presents is not a job, it's a vocation. Like, you have to have passion for our industry and our passion for the business. And I want people to join us that feel that way. And I want clients that feel that way. I want clients that will be in the trenches with us and like really want to build something. And I think that's my main leadership style. The other part is obviously the female side. I've been in an industry where females are the doers and males are the leaders. And I really wanted to build an environment where the younger generation could see what they could be in a few years if they wanted to be, you know. Production is one of them. You know, we've hired juniors into our production team, female juniors. Like, production is a really hard area for females to get into. It's very male heavy. We've got female junior copywriters, you know, social media, like really trying to bring them in to be like, your leadership team is female. The MD is female. A lot of our clients are female. Like, look what you can achieve. There's no kind of ceiling. If you work hard, You respect the industry we're in. You are a yes person. Literally, the sky's the limit. I am not the most intelligent person in the world. I just work really flipping hard.
Yeah.
And I've just used every opportunity. I'm like a yes person. I'm like, do you want to try this? Yes. And I'll figure it out. And if I feel like we're not the right fit, or I'm not going to meet your expectations, then I'll back away. But I'll always try. That's what I tell our junior members, is just put your hat in the ring and give it a go.
That's great. That's like, and I have the opportunity and privilege to meet some of your more junior members earlier this week at our Futures Female Awards. And you can tell that they so value working at Scene Presents, and just, we're so happy to be there. And you really are, you know, doing it. Not
follow
us
on TikTok. You can see their daily lols on TikTok. They literally blow my mind. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, we're doing a TikTok. Okay, of course we are.
Okay, cool. You mentioned a little about your CU initiative. Would love to hear more about it. What is it? What inspired it? How did creating it help create more opportunities for women in the industry?
Sure. There's two parts to that. So internally at Scene Presents, we have a monthly We CU Awards. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, not every agency has the budget and the money to pay, I don't know, huge salaries or big bonuses or whatever. What we brought it in to show recognition, and it's about giving awards and recognition to people that uphold our values. The nice thing about it is, yes, people get prizes and vouchers and stuff, but actually we write words of encouragement to each other and read it out. The end of last year, I was like, we need more of this externally in the industry. I've spent 3 years really looking inwards. You know, I said that before, like trying to build a business. And now I'm like, I need to look outwards. If I'm saying that I'm here, you know, to champion women, then I need to try and do that externally a bit more. So I've set up We See You Sessions, which is for women in the industry, whether you're a client, whether you're an agency, whether you're a brand, a supplier, whatever, where I'm going to hold sessions where we come together, we have speakers and panelists. But I don't want it to just be, oh, it's really hard being a woman, I barely hate this. I want it to be helpful, tangible things. So if you're trying to build a business, what are the 5 things that you should focus on first? If you're a brand and you're trying to, you know, make your way in a male-dominated leadership team, like, what are the kind of things that you should be focused on so that we can try and help each other off a little bit? So I'm going to do the first one in Cannes. But I mean, I know not everyone can fly to Cannes.
Yeah,
not the most inclusive way to start. But seeing as I'm going to be there, I'll do it there. And then our next one will be in London.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do an Advertising Week New York.
Oh my God, love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of, it's a woman's world until you reach the top is kind of the headline of the next section of questions. And I think it's true. We've talked about how women are doers, men are leaders on paper. I don't know that I actually really believe that, but that's kind of
the narrative. You know,
exactly. Yeah. Little statistics for it. Even in 2025, it's shocking. While women make up 75% of the workforce in the events industry, and I've also been in the events industry my whole career, they hold less than 20% of top-level positions. Why do you think this still is? And from your perspective as a female leader in the space, like, do you still see it every day? You know, obviously you're doing a lot to change this and influence the future, but it's still challenging and it's still real, unfortunately.
You know, there's a historical thing there. You've got a few generations to go where just historically men did the jobs, maybe women didn't. And so the most senior people are usually a bit older and therefore they're male. So there's a historical thing that's going to be hard to stamp out. But I think probably one of the reasons is our own self-belief in ourselves, in that usually we tell ourselves we can't do it or we might not be able to balance it all. And I think that's one hurdle. This is why, you know, the mentoring and the bringing people together and championing people will help get that out of our heads. I think the other thing is this belief around that women maybe are, you know, too emotional and they can't make measured decisions. And therefore, at the top, when you have to make business critical, fast, not emotionally led decisions, that women can't do that. I think that's something that really affects us, which is absolute tosh.
Obviously, no one can see me, but I'm rolling my eyes as we talk about it.
I think the emotional side helps us. I think that's what builds empathetic agencies. You know, we get less turnover, people are more invested to stay, and I think we make more balanced decisions because of that.
I was actually just going to say the same exact thing. I think we think about it, even if, you know, we do have that initial reaction where you're able to take a step back and say, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, and I think the other reason why people should put women in leadership is that we are insane multitaskers and hard workers. Women work so hard because they're constantly from generation been trying to prove themselves, and they are absolutely insane at multitasking. Like, yeah, I'm not a mother, but, you know, I hire parents. If someone can multitask doing all that and do a job and run a business, like hire that person. Because that person can like manage their time and still be really present. And I think, I honestly do believe that we are getting there. I think some of the issues of females in the top positions is just because there weren't enough there yet because of this historical thing of just how, you know, women stayed at home, men work, her vibes. I think we're getting there and we're getting better, but I think our biggest hurdle is ourselves in just believing that we can do it because we're constantly telling ourselves in our head we can't.
The imposter syndrome is so real.
Yeah.
And I think we all try to say, no, we're fighting it. I don't have it. But like, I find myself daily, especially during these things, you know, when we're having an event or you're interviewing or you're hosting, I'm like, oh God, I don't think that's a good topic for me or I cannot cut out for it. And
yeah,
you know, you just, we are.
Yeah.
They just got to do it and we can.
Yeah. But I mean, look at advertising week with you and Rue.
And you know, and this is not a, thank you for saying that, but this is not a man bashing episode. This is really clear. Absolutely not. We need them. And the only reason I'm here is because I was hired by two men that I adore and I still work for them and they're my family. And
a man told me I should be an MD.
Yeah.
He was like, of course. You're amazing.
Yeah, similar situation now. Yeah. I mean, I'm our chief client officer now, and the only reason I'm here is because two men told me, yes, do it. You go, you go. So, you know, this is not a man bashing. So just to clarify, we need them and they're our allies.
Even
but the narrative is there.
Yeah, but even you saying that, right, you go, the only reason I'm here is because that, like, we intrinsically are empathetic.
Yeah, you're right.
We're not arrogant. We never want to be, you know, vain and out there. And I think sometimes we have to do a little bit of that. You know, again, not to blanket, but men are generally much more confident in themselves, much more willing to be like, I am amazing and I can do this job and I'm going to do it well. Well, our narrative is, it's, oh, well, if you say I'm amazing, I'll do it. I'll go, you know, I'll give it a go, but only because you said so.
Yeah.
I say this all the time in interviews and stuff. I'm like, whenever you're going into a situation like a negotiation or a meeting or, I don't know, a salary review, channel your inner man. Because if you go in there thinking biologically like a woman, you're generally going to do yourself down.
Pretty good advice.
It's really hard to do that, but
it is.
Talk
really
to yourself in a mirror before you go in that room.
How do you think, just focusing more so on the events industry, how do you think the events industry can evolve to not only encourage more women to enter these senior leadership positions and to have that kind of inner male narrative and say, you know, I am pretty badass. I do deserve this. And also ensure that, you know, it stays and that we're helping our peers thrive in a sense.
I think the way that we need to evolve a little bit is just letting people know the types of roles that are out there for women. The events industry is so broad and so rich in the type of roles. Like I said, I've got copywriters, we've got videographers, we've got production people. And I think letting people know the opportunity that's out there for women in different roles in our industry is important.
And I also want to say, just to clarify also, Louisa, you're an MD, but you still do it all. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I'm sweet blood.
I've seen everything from, oh my gosh, someone dropped a drink, let me get the mop, to hang on, let me get my tool. I'm going to put this piece of activation or wall together. I have the hammer. To, all right, I'm ready for the negotiation talk and let's go into the, you know, the pitch meeting.
That's because I love this industry so much. Like, I love it and I want to be part of it. And I also want to show people, like, getting more senior doesn't mean that you don't do the do anymore.
Yeah, and lead by example.
100%. Like, lead.
How do you expect
your work ethic?
Like, do it. And then if you're saying, no, I'm not going to, you do that. That's not for me. Are you kidding?
Build 24 IKEA tables and I'm going to help you, you know? But I think the other way to like evolve the industry a little bit is we've got to get our voices out there. We're so bad. Like I said, we're so bad at self-promotion and talking about stuff and people get the ick and they don't like it. But, you know, women and females who are trying to get into our industry and see out there, they need advocates and they need followers. Like, I have 6 mentees that I mentor around the industry.
Amazing.
And it's because they've emailed me going like, I need advice. I don't know how to get in. Like, I don't know how to get out there. And I think they just need people that they can look up to. So the more of us that can talk about our journey and talk about our industry and talk about our roles, the better, I think.
Just be out there and be honest. Yeah. I completely agree. As you look towards the future, kind of what do you think is next?
Yeah, I mean, the events industry is evolving all the time. I still get frustrated that experiential and events seem to be an afterthought in marketing. You know, I think people plan their marketing spend and then throw in an event at the end of it with the leftover money. And that's quite frustrating for us. So I'd love to see the event industry evolve into being part of the narrative early on within marketing, you know, really thinking about how do we want to engage our audiences in a more in real life way and making that part of it. I think the way that we evolve alongside that is, like you said, this content piece is that sometimes the reason why events is an afterthought is because the ROI is harder to prove. Mm. You know, it's really hard to track that. So if we can talk about it via content on the pre and during and after, I think that will help. So for us as a business, that's where we're really focusing. I think the other part of events and experiential that's interesting is going to be the role of the influencer and how that evolves. That's really changed recently with maybe brands looking more to authentic communities and how they show up there. And I think that's an interesting sphere for us. And then for us as a brand personally, I think I really want to focus on, you know, bringing in more brands into our proposition of intangible, tangible. There's so many brands out there that I'd love to work with, like Airbnb. I think what they're doing is amazing.
I'm ready for an Airbnb pop-up across industry events.
See me floating across in my giant up balloon. But I think it's like an interesting time for us. Every year we start and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's the golden era of experience this year. And every year I'm like, yeah, let's see. And every year, it's hard. It's a competitive market out there. But even, you know, you guys, Advertising Week, you see the value in putting on an in real life event. You could easily do this as a digital event. It's just loads of sessions that we dial into. But the buzz of this place, like seeing people walk around and connect, like you as a brand see the value in that. And that is what we need to pass on to all brands, in that there isn't a value in experiential.
100%. I think if the last 5 years have taught us anything, it's that the value of being together, being in person, experiencing things, tangible, touching, seeing each other and doing business that way, and from a personal perspective, is completely invaluable.
Yeah.
And you see the difference.
Well, it's an emotional level, isn't it? You're building that brand relevance through an emotional level. The things that we've talked about, like we have memories of being on site together.
Yeah.
You wouldn't remember that as a digital thing.
Right.
So I think when we're working with brands, that's what we talk about, is how do you want to make the people that turn up at your experience feel? Because that's what they're going to remember. They're going to remember how they felt when they walked through those doors on that roof in Cannes. And what they saw, and that means they're going to remember you, and they're going to remember your brand, and then they're going to want to purchase you. So I'm so passionate about that and trying to bring that to as many corners of brand experience as possible. And I'm excited to see where Scene Presents goes.
Amazing. I happen to agree. A little boring for this conversation, I guess, that we're so agreeable, but I hope a lot of people learn some things.
Conflict.
I know, we need some drama. It's too bad we get along so well. All right, before we wrap, I always like to end these with kind of what is one piece of advice you'd give the listeners to take away from this, if they only kind of remember one thing besides how did you make people feel?
Yeah, I think for anyone, you know, female listening who's maybe unsure of, you know, I don't know how to build a business or how to build their profile, my one bit of advice is make yourself famous. You've got to get your name out there. You need to be people to know what you stand for, what you're interested in, what you believe in, and what your opinion is. And alongside that advice is do it in an authentic way, and people will see through you. Just be you. Be authentically you all the time, whether it's in business negotiations, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in talking to people, because people buy people, as you say, and they want honesty. Life's really hard. Like, you don't want to be navigating like, oh, are they really going to do it? Are they telling the truth? So make yourself famous, but do it in a really honest and authentic way. And I think that's what people will remember.
And don't be an idiot.
Don't be an insert word. Yeah. Don't be an idiot. Like, it's really not that hard.
It's not. It's like something I feel like we learn at such a young age, and it's just so hard for people to remember it. All right. Well, I'm a huge fan of what you do, as you know, a huge fan of you personally. And I'm so glad we finally did this. It's been a while in the making, but can't wait to see where Scene Presents goes next.
Thanks for having me, and congrats on another epic Advertising Week.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a colleague and leaving us a review on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you again in the next episode.